Father, we thank you today that your word does faithfully portray to us your truth, which also then bears on our condition. And so we pray, dear Lord, as your people, that we would be gazing into your mirror to see what your mirror has to tell us, and also in the process to be transformed by your truth. We want to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ, not in word only, not in name only, but in deed and in truth every day. We would like for Christ to be the center of everything that we do. Indeed, our greatest longing, our greatest hope, and all that our hearts really long for. So we pray today, dear Lord, take your word and impress upon us the importance and the preciousness of your word as never before. It is by your word that we are transformed, and apart from it, we are not transformed. Take now your word and use it in our lives, we pray, in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I imagine everybody here probably has a mirror in your house somewhere, you know. Some of you, if you have a purse, you may even have a mirror in that purse. And I would also imagine that most of us look in a mirror at least once or twice a day. Some of us probably just casually glance. And then there's others. We used to call it, what did we used to call it? You getting all pretty and everything and really, really looking for the little blackheads and looking for everything and wanting everything to, or putting on the makeup or wanting everything to be exactly right. But anyway, we depend on mirrors for a lot of things. And somebody was just, in fact, Tommy Sullivan was just saying this morning that I think he went an hour one time blindfold because he was trying to identify with what it would be like to be blind. And he said it really is amazing, you know, with a blindfold, how difficult all of a sudden life becomes. But we depend on mirrors a great deal. And so in this passage, in this main passage in the book of James, James kind of makes some allusions to mirrors and to the Word of God, and he makes a connection there. Years ago, there used to be a song by Evie. I don't know if you know Evie Carlson. She used to be Evie Tornquist, but she was one of my favorite singers, certainly from the 60s and 70s. But she had a famous song. You can find it on YouTube today, called Mirror. And mirror, mirror on the wall, I know who is Lord of all. Just let me see him every day. For me, it is the only way. And that is, you know, when we look in the mirror, we want to see Christ. But when you look in the mirror, what do you see? What do you see? Do you like what you see when you look in the mirror? When you look in the mirror as a Christian, do you see a Christian with a real hunger for God and an ardent desire for spiritual growth and involvement in God's work? Or do you see someone content with Sunday church attendance and little else? When you look in that mirror, what do you see? Do you see a surface Christian or someone digging deeper? When you look in that mirror, do you see someone with a loving and forgiving heart or someone with a critical spirit and hard to please? When you look in the mirror, do you see someone growing in faith or someone fearful, dispirited, and sad? When you look in the mirror, do you see someone joyful or someone just trying to tough it out? When you look in that mirror, do you see someone reaching out to others or someone preoccupied with self? When you look in that mirror, do you see someone whose actual life falls far short of what is professed? When you look in that mirror, do you see someone surrendered to the Lord or someone still determined to do things his or her own way? If you are one of those who like to take the notes and have something to take home, now would be the time to get that out. We're going to talk about mirrors here for a few minutes. Number one, mirrors work on the principle of reflection. I think I came across that in the science book one time, but it works on the principle of reflection. Number two, reflection is only possible in the presence of light. Now, bear in mind that this morning we're talking about a spiritual truth here. And that is why God's Word is like a mirror, because it is a reflection. And we can see ourselves because it is light. Thy Word, the entrance of Thy Word giveth light. Thy Word is a light to my path, a lamp to my pathway. It is in the presence of light that reflection takes place. Even a mirror, even a good mirror, doesn't work very well in a dark room, does it? So that proves that what you're seeing, the reflection is made possible because those light waves are bouncing off of that surface and back to you, and so they are then, hopefully, if it's a good mirror, accurately feeding back to you what is there. Number three, mirrors, good ones at least, reflect back exactly the image placed before them. The mirror doesn't lie. Now, there are mirrors that distort. You ever seen one of those mirrors that makes you look slimmer than you really are? Or one of those mirrors that makes you look fat or that makes you look like this? The problem there is the mirror, not you. But a good mirror will reflect back exactly what's there. It's not biased or prejudiced in any way. It will just simply show you what is. You may like what you're seeing, or you may not like at all what you're seeing, but it's going to show you things exactly as they are. And normally we want a mirror that is accurate and that does reflect to us what the truth is. Number four, unlike man-made mirrors, God's mirror not only shows us as we are, but also shows us as we can and should be. Have you ever seen a before and after picture? Well, I think some of those after pictures may be airbrushed a little bit sometimes. In fact, I suspect most of them are. But God's mirror is accurate on both counts. So as we look into God's mirror, we not only see what is really there, but in His mirror, we're also able to see how we can and should be. Number five, God's mirror is the only mirror with the ability to reveal us exactly as we are, but in addition, to transform us as we gaze into it. Now, I heard a story a while back, and some of you have probably heard this story. It says that this farmer and his wife and their grown son went into the big city. They'd never been into the big city, and this was years ago. Many years ago, and they went into one of these nice, fancy department stores like Dillard's, and they were just looking around, and they were just caught with everything, and all of a sudden, they just saw a door open in the wall, and in walked a little old lady, and the door closed. A few minutes later, that same door opened, and out walked a beautiful young lady. And the farmer turned to his son and said, "Your mama needs one of those." And if we had a mirror But as we looked at it, you know, and the longer we gazed into it, it got rid of the wrinkles and the splotches and the imperfections. Man, we wouldn't be waiting to buy that mirror, would we? But God's mirror is the only mirror. And on what authority do I say this? Well, we read it today. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, which would be the word of God, and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you will really be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And we always hear that part. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But we don't go back to the verse before it. If you continue in my word, then you will really be my disciples. And you will know the truth. You will come to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That is more or less the same process that James is alluding to here. That the more that we gaze into the Word of God, not only will the Word of God show me who I am today, and it may be indeed a distressing sight. And don't let the enemy get you there, because there's nothing wrong with you that the Lord can't fix. So as you gaze and you don't like what you see, the enemy will say, see, I told you you were fake. I told you you weren't a believer. I told you that you'll never amount to anything. I told you you couldn't be used of the Lord. That's the enemy talking to you. The Lord is interested not in condemnation, but in transformation. You might want to write that one down. The enemy only wants to bring condemnation. The Lord wants to bring what? Transformation. And he does it through his word. And his word is the instrument that he uses in our lives in order to bring about transformation. That is why we expose ourselves to the word of God. That is why hopefully we're in Sunday school if we're in Sunday school. Or in a Bible study group if we're in a Bible study group. Or that we listen to Christian radio. Or that we come and listen to messages from God's Word. Or that we read good Christian books. Or most of all, that we read the Word. Because it is light. And as we gaze into it, we will be transformed. But here's our next point. Number 6. Transformation is accomplished only through continued and focused gazing, not by quick glances from time to time. Quick glances from time to time will not bring about transformation. Only a focused and intent gaze, a sustained gaze into the Word of God, is what will bring about a transformation in us. Not by quick glances from time to time. So sometimes we want immediate answers to things. We want immediate fixes to things. I say this a lot about messes that we are in sometimes. We didn't get there overnight, and we're not going to get out of there overnight. And the Lord will begin to set us on the road to transformation. He will begin to set us on the road to fixing things. But that doesn't mean he's not going to fix them. He's going to fix them. But we've got to keep gazing in his word. Gazing intently into his word and then beginning to put into practice the things that he tells us in his word. And the more that we apply the word, how many of you have ever experienced the fact that once you do something, you remember it better? Do you remember a password better by typing it in once or by just hearing it from somebody? I'm one of those people that I can ride with somebody else and go somewhere, and I couldn't tell you any idea how we ever got there. But if I drove it myself, I can usually remember it the next time. And maybe some of you can identify with that. So as we begin to put something into practice, then we remember it better because we have actually done it. It's easier, even if it's something a little difficult, like tying a necktie. Is that difficult? It is for some. But if I do it a few times, I learn it a lot better than just watching somebody else do it. God's word is to be put into practice. And as we gaze and as we put it into practice, an amazing thing happens. God's word begins to do its work and a transformation happens. Now, I was transformed at salvation in the sense that I went from being a sinner to being totally forgiven. But that doesn't mean that every single little vestige of my old life has automatically just miraculously fallen off. How many have discovered that truth? But neither does that mean that you should take the attitude, well, these things are just a part of me and the Lord will overlook them and I'm not going to do anything about them. Because the Lord saves us in order to, he forgives us right then, he cleanses us right then, he sets us on the right road right then. But he wants to progressively lead us to greater and greater growth, greater and greater effectiveness in him. And yes, he does want to diminish those things in our lives over time. So on the one hand, I don't need to get all excited and say, well, it didn't happen in 2 days, so it's not going to happen. But on the other hand, I need not take that attitude of, well, it doesn't really matter. The Lord will overlook it. No, Lord, I want to be transformed by your word. I am coming to your word. When you come to God's word, are you just coming for information or are you coming for transformation? So there's a couple other words you can put there. Because if we're just coming for information, information doesn't automatically transform. It's when truth is understood with the help of the Holy Spirit. And when that truth is applied, that is when transformation takes place. Amen? Have you found it to be so? Just knowing it in your head doesn't bring about transformation. I know some people out, I've met people out there in the world that are as mean as the devil himself. And they can quote a whole lot of scripture. God's word hasn't transformed them one iota. They've got the information, but they don't come to God's word for transformation. They only come in order to be able to say it or spew it out. And when it's used that way, it's not going to accomplish anything. But as we gaze into the word of the Lord, the reason we're gazing into the word of the Lord is because we want to see his truth. And there's these two sets of truth. There's the truth of who I am right now, and I haven't reached that place yet. And then there's the truth here of who he wants me to be and who he's going to make me if I let him and I'm open and I let him do his work in me. And that's why we see both of these in the word. I see where I am, but I also see where the Lord, you can however you want to put it, where I need to be, where he wants me to be. It's where he's going to get me unless I interfere and don't let him. And so, but God's word, you are already clean, Jesus says to the disciples, through the word that I have spoken unto you. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so it is God's truth, his word. That is his chosen instrument for bringing about real transformation. Anything else is just a superficial thing. You can change some things. You can get a trainer. Now look this way, stand this way, smile this way, behave this way. And it's all just a bunch of exterior stuff. It does not change you on the inside whatsoever. And that is not transformation, my dear friend. Talk about these makeovers. Have you ever seen these makeovers on TV? Guess what? They are exterior. God is working in here. And when he gets what is in here right, what is out here will take care of itself. But God is doing the transformation first on the inside. That's where his word works. Not on the surface, but on the inside. So I can put on a good act and I can fool a whole lot of people and still be the same on the inside. That is not transformation. transformation is when he actually convicts me by the Holy Spirit. I see his truth and I cry out to God and I say, God, help me. I know I can't do this in my own strength, but I know you can, and I want you to transform me. And he comes in and he changes my attitude from the inside. He actually changes who I am, how I feel about things, how I react to things. He does it. How many have experienced some of that? At least some of that. And we want more. We want more. And this is the normal Christian life. So that guy used to say, the American Express card, don't leave home without it. Well, God's mirror, God's transforming mirror, don't leave home without it. Take it to the mission field. Take it to work. Take it shopping. Take it everywhere. Have it with you in your Prius as you drive along. Have it with you everywhere. And God's Word. Hey, if I gaze into it and I do what I'm supposed to do, guess what? Here's our next point. We're still on point number 6. Transformation is accomplished only through continued and focused gazing, not by quick glances from time to time. However, the transformation is unmistakable. In other words, you can't miss it. When the change is real, you can't miss it. And that's my other point. When God does it, it's real. It's not fake, it's not put on, it's not surface, it's not a retraining of our habits. It is that he has really changed us. And have you ever met somebody and you say, wow, have they had a change in attitude? I wonder what happened to them. Maybe they got a dose of the word. What do you think? It is unmistakable, it is without flaw, and it is 100% reliable. God's word will always do. My word, he says, will not return to me void. How many have read that in the book of Isaiah? But it will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. Hallelujah. And that's true whether you're preaching salvation from the pulpit or whether it's something that the Lord is seeking to work in you on the inside in your life right now. His word will not return to him void, and it will accomplish, it will ultimately do the job. Hallelujah. Because it's effective. I'm not, but his word is. I used to love those things they do where they, how many remember the OxyClean commercials? Huh? And here we have this whatever, and it's just doused in grape juice, but we like to see something that works, don't we? And the Word of God works every time. Number 7, God's mirror is his Word. Copies are readily available at most bookstores and many prominent retailers. Some of you have, and of course myself, but some of you probably have 6 or 8 different Bibles in your house, right? Which one are you reading regularly? That's what I want to know. Not how many versions of it do you have. And then we get people like, the King James is the only version. Well, I'm not all hung up on a whole lot of versions. And as you all know, there are things about the NIV that don't make me particularly excited. Or if they do, sometimes it's in the wrong way. Whatever. But hey, if you've got God's Word, read it. I don't care if it's a New Living Translation, the NIV, the New King James, the Old King James, or whatever it is. Just read it. Settle on one, read it, gaze into it, meditate on it, be open to the Holy Spirit, and wonder, and God will be, he will always, have you noticed, he will always be working on something in you. But that's the way it's supposed to be. And if he's not, then it means either we're reading and not paying attention, or else we're not even reading like we should. And I hope this coming year, it's a little early to be talking about that, But I hope it really will be a year where we are in the Word of God as never before. I was so encouraged last spring. So many of you did the E100. How many did that E100 Bible reading stuff? Wow. And so many of you came back later and said, wow, that was such a blessing in my life. You know, it got me doing what I should have been doing anyway. And others came back and said, we had so much, enjoyed this so much, we're going to go back now and read the surrounding passages, you know, because we want to know more about some of the things. And that's where we need to be. If we do the reading, if we do the gazing, believe me, God will do his part. He surely will. Shall we pray? Father, we do thank you today for your wonderful word. Your word is alive. Your word is powerful. And yes, your word is a mirror in the sense that it shows us exactly who we are, exactly as we are. We are perfect in Christ in the sense that that is how you see us, because you have, in Christ, you have perfected us. But in our daily walk and in our daily lives, we still have many areas we need to improve on. And Lord, you are committed to doing it. And that is why you gave us your word. Your word is not just history. It's not just poetry. It's not just a bunch of facts. But it is a living word. And you're going to use it in order to transform us. So while it says in your word that the outer man is wasting away, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. And I think that means that we may be looking older. We may be looking uglier. We may be having more wrinkles. We may be bent over a little bit when we walk. The outer man may be getting deteriorating. But by your word, the inner man is looking better all the time. And Lord, we pray that whatever our chronological age, that your word would be renewing us and transforming us day by day. We pray for the work of your word in our lives, not just at Christmas, not just on Sunday, but all the time. Use your word in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.